Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
And welcome back, everybody. Pure Victory Podcast. This is Braden here.
Back.
We're back. Tarps, how you doing?
good. All covered up.
Shirt's still on. That's good. That's good.
Half. How are they looking?
We got a good start to this podcast already.
I have to say. Arms are looking big. See those veins popping through your two layers over there.
You bet. I can't scratch my head because I'm going to rip something. So
yeah, don't do that.
No, not at all. This is all Zoom filters, everybody. Anyways, let's get back on track. Today we have an episode on, I guess, fighting our battles with a focus on resiliency and why it's so important to be resilient in this battle and fight against porn, addiction, other sexual issues, just life in general. Because I think we have, as a society and culture, often what we can kind of move towards is focusing so much on our pain, our trauma, and our hurt, which there's importance to that. We need to own that we have some of those things. But maybe we boomerang so far one way that we can't take our eyes off of those things. We're so over-focused on maybe some of that hurt and trauma that we've gone through that we don't have any positive mindset moving forward or a vision for freedom, a vision for victory. And we limit ourselves because of that. And we can actually stay stuck when we're not developing resiliency. We need to be able to work through and fight through and grind things out and understand that we have capabilities and capacity with God's help to overcome. And through Him, we can have that joy. We can have that focus. And let's move towards that today in this podcast of what it means to be resilient.
Then we think short term, eh?
Yeah.
I think so short term in this world and just the way we think. And we don't want to go through hard things. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this task for work, or I don't want to do this exercise for working out, mm-hmm. or whatever. And when I think like, okay, how long is it going to take? It's going to take 90 seconds. I'll be done this set, mm-hmm. or like 10 minutes. I'll be done this portion of the workout or whatever.
Yeah.
It helps me because I think more short term, like, oh, I can get through this rather than just focusing on the struggle and the thing I don't want to do. When I see in like bigger picture how short of a time it actually is, that helps me get through things and have resiliency and endure through whatever I don't want to do. And even when you think about like our life, you can think, I'm going to go through things. I'm going to, you know, whatever thing we don't like about ourselves, I'm going to have this for my whole life, or I'm going to have sexual temptation my whole life. The tempter is going to be there for my entire life. I mean, hey, that doesn't sound encouraging. But when you think about like, hey, what could that build in me as far as a resilient spirit and understanding some higher level, some spiritual wisdom in knowing how to endure and get through battles. And then in light of eternity, you're thinking like life is short compared to eternity. And what's the mm-hmm. reward of enduring and resiliency and what that does to my character? What's the reward of that in light of eternity? I mean, oh, okay. I can get through this life and let it grow me and grow my character. That sure helps me when I'm going through things that I have to be resilient in where I don't feel resilient. When I look at it in light of a bigger picture, in light of a bigger time frame, rather than just focusing on things I don't want to do, that sure helps me. And that's certainly relevant for stress, for hardship that leads to temptation, and also for temptation itself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's one of these things like for the resiliency too, when we hear the word resiliency, we might have some misunderstanding about what that word means for us. We think, well, it just means enduring something, and that's true, but it could be more along the lines of you overcome by not focusing on certain things, or you have to be really tough. You got to be really tough. You got to be tougher than your problems. That's what we think resiliency means. And that's actually not a biblical perspective, because our strength only takes us so far. You might feel really strong in certain areas, but again, we have a point where we no longer have strength. And so what do we do when we face that situation? And I'm so thankful. We have great models out there throughout scripture of what it means to be resilient and a God-given resilience. And I think that's really key, a God-given resilience, because like I said, our strength wanes over time. Like we can only take something for so long, especially if we come at it from maybe a worldly perspective or a perspective that it's me that's going to have to make this happen. We have to take ownership of our choices. We have to obviously make some tough decisions in life, of course, to come out of our circumstances, but it always has to be central to God working in our life. If we remove God from the equation, that's when we just falter and fail. I know I did that, like with porn. Yeah, I tried on my own strength for a long time to be quote unquote resilient. But the way that I did it was completely backwards. Like I would just try everything I could to not think about porn and do everything I could to avoid porn. But that only goes so far. Eventually, I'm going to come face to face with some of my issues, or face to face with that temptation, face to face with moments where I'm not at my best. Maybe my inhibitions are down, I'm tired. And what do you do then? And I think that's where a God-given resiliency is where we really start to see that freedom and victory. And so some of the models we see, what are some models that we see in scripture there, Matt?
Best biblical example, I think, is Jesus. Oh man, what a profound thought, hey? Mm-hmm. but I think often that story where they're in a boat, Jesus and the disciples are in a boat, and there's a storm and they're all freaking out and he's just chilling, having a nap, and boat's probably tossing and turning, scared of going over, and he's just resting, having a nap, and they're all like, Jesus, wake up, there's a storm, why are you sleeping? And he's like, totally confused, right? Like, why are you freaking out?
Yeah.
Like, where's your faith? Why don't you have peace? And I used to see that story in his response simply in the frame of mind that he's teaching them a lesson and saying, where's your faith? Like, what, you know, I want to teach here. You could also, though, see it like he's genuinely confused. Like, why would you not have faith here? And I wonder, like, as a person filled with the Spirit, one with the Father, like he's a son of God, was he actually like genuinely confused as to why people are freaking out in the middle of a storm? Because he's so full of just living in peace. And I don't know, but I want to get there. I want to be like, have my natural default response to hardship be peace and be like, well, obviously I'm going to be at peace. Like, what is this thing? What is this temptation, the sexual temptation, going to do? Like, of course. And like, you can kind of laugh at it and like, huh? Like, people are freaking out about this? No, like laugh at it because you're so in the peace of God. And I just want to believe that that's real. And I think that that's what Jesus demonstrated for us. And so if we have temptation, sexual temptations, if we want to give in, sometimes like that can seem so overpowering. It seems so hard. It seems like a battle that we just can't get through unless we give in. And giving in is the only way to experience that peace or that escape from that battle. And there's so much in scripture about enduring and being resilient and being able to fight these battles. And I think that understanding how God gets us through these things is really important, because we want, as human beings, we want the situation gone. We want the temptation gone. If we pray to God and he doesn't take the temptation from us, we're like, I guess he didn't answer my prayer. But what he's doing, I believe, is he's giving us a little bit to hold on to. He gives us his word. He gives us a knowing that he is with us. Do we always experience it or feel it? No. But that's the beauty of his wisdom, is that he's training us up in that moment to just know in ourselves, even when we don't experience him, that he is with us. He's training us to go to the word if we don't hear from him directly. Go to the Bible and get a scripture, have verses that are in our hearts so that we can endure and be resilient in the face of a battle. And so I want to have, like for my own life, I want to be so resilient to the point where scripture is just so in me and it's my default setting, that when there's a battle or when there's a stress or a temptation or whatever it is where I have to be resilient in, it's like, well, of course I can endure this. This is going to produce good things. It's going to grow my character. And I need endurance and need to be resilient for this life. And praise the Lord for this opportunity. Like, I want that to be my default, because I think that was the default that Jesus had in the midst of any temptation. You look at when he got tempted those three times before his ministry started. We don't see him getting tired. Mm-hmm. And he was hungry and he was tired. He had fasted for 40 days, but we don't see him getting tired of the temptation. We just see him confidently combating it with the word of God, mm-hmm, and with the power of the Holy Spirit in him. And we don't see him having fatigue. We see, like, actually Satan gets tired of the word of God being declared and he flees, rather than Jesus just giving in because, oh man, I already resisted once, and then you tempted me again, and I resisted again, and then you tempted me again. This is just too much. He demonstrates this example of or this response that's the resiliency that we need just in life in general. And so what a beautiful training ground temptation is, or hard times is. And I want to say, like, I'm better in some areas of my life and worse in other areas of my life with this. And the areas that I'm worse in, they're opportunities. Mm-hmm. And they're opportunities for me to grow, for me to get the word of God, but also for me to look inward at my heart and go, what are some beliefs or maybe some things that are holding me back from being resilient in battles? And I'm grateful for that perspective, because God's able to then grow me into an even more resilient person.
Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful what you're sharing. And one of the hard realities that sometimes we have to come to terms with is the fact that, I mean, Jesus did tell us, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. How amazing is that? So what does that mean for us? I mean, there's a great tangible example for us in scripture. I always love this, is when Jesus is walking on the water, and it wasn't calm and serene when he was walking on the water towards the boat full of the disciples. It wasn't. And we know this because when Peter called out to him, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Sure enough, Jesus did. And when Peter got on that water, and I mean, how incredible would that have been? Like, the only human, I mean, Jesus obviously walked on water, but the only human aside from Christ that's ever done that is Peter. And that was through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the power of Jesus in that moment. What we know is that Jesus didn't silence the waves in that moment so Peter could do that. In fact, that's not the case at all, because Peter was looking around. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he noticed how bad the storm was and the waves, and he started to sink. And then Jesus lent him his hand and pulled him out of that. But I mean, there's a great lesson in that. It's been used countless times throughout Christian history of teaching in regards to keeping our eyes on Jesus. But we notice something here. Jesus didn't still the waves so Peter could walk on water. He called him to keep his eyes on him. And so what do we know that about life and circumstance? We all can say that there's been hardship that we've encountered in life. Some much worse than others, for sure. Just because we're going through circumstances that are difficult doesn't mean that God doesn't love us or we don't have his favor. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily doing something wrong in life. It's just the fact of life is sometimes we face difficult circumstance. And God calls us to be resilient in those moments by keeping our eyes on him. He's not going to necessarily remove the circumstance or the roadblock or the difficulty that we're facing in that time, but we're going to learn through it. We're going to walk through it with him. And why does he do that? Because he loves us too much to give us everything that we want. I mean, I've prayed away temptation for so much in my battle with porn. And what I've learned through the journey of it is that God didn't necessarily do that, but he taught me to keep my eyes on him. And that's where the freedom came. And if he would have given me in a moment, in a flash, the temptation to be removed from me, I wouldn't have learned anything. My character wouldn't have grown. I wouldn't have built that resiliency. I had to learn to keep my head up, to focus on God through the midst of the storm. And I learned so much about him. I learned so much about myself, and I learned so much what it meant to battle. Because if you face circumstance, we can be a shrinking violet and just crumble. And that's not what God calls us to. Again, in this life, we will have trouble, but take heart. God is with us. And I always love that example of Peter because I can see myself in him. I think we all can. And we've all been there where we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. We can all relate to that. And we start to sink in our circumstances, but he always is gracious to us. Jesus always pulls us out of that. And in his kindness just says to keep our eyes on him. He's there with us. He's for us. How beautiful a picture of that is that of resiliency, of knowing that he's the one that does that work in us so long as we keep our eyes on him and not on our circumstances. Circumstances are tough, for sure. If you're battling porn, that seems like the battle of your life. You're battling masturbation, the battle of your life. And we can focus so much on those waves that are hitting up against us versus on God. And I understand that. I was there too. But when we put our eyes on Jesus, that's where the resiliency really starts to come forward. And we start to build that character. And we learn a lot through the process when we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So people who are listening, if you've been thinking like, I've been praying to God for years or decades for him to take my porn issue from me or masturbation or whatever it is, or the pain of my abuse or if it's a non-sexual thing, then that too. Like if you've been praying for something for years and it hasn't yet come to pass, both of us, Brad and I, we want you to know God is not ignoring you. Mm. God is wanting to take you to something even deeper and something better. He wants to do a deeper healing work so he can take you higher in life. He'll use what you're struggling with right now to teach you how to be resilient, to teach you how to rely on him in new ways. And it's not always simply just getting through the momentary fights. A couple of years ago, I was realizing I don't have the resiliency that I used to have. I don't, like in various things in my life, not everything, but in various things, I'm like, man, I used to persevere. I used to have a mentality of overcoming. And no matter what, like when I was training as a kid or teenager in hockey, I mean, I would go longer than most people, even if I wasn't the most skilled or didn't have the most strength or stamina in the gym. Typically, from a mental standpoint, I would outlast people. And I was noticing that in my adult years that, hey, that hasn't been the case. So I started, instead of, and this is, I think, really key, and this is something that I've learned from my own story, is that instead of simply just looking at whatever it is in my life that I don't have resiliency towards or I don't fight these battles long-term, I just more give in or quit or don't engage in the fight. Instead of just looking at that and going, how can I fight better or beat myself up? And like, come on, you can do better. I had to start asking myself, why is it that my mentality changed? And when did this change? And so what happened was just through prayer and through seeking counsel with someone who was able to guide me in this inner healing, I got back to this point where I was in my early 20s. And I remember I was starting my adulthood. And when I was 18, I got hurt in hockey with a concussion. I had headaches for 6 years with this concussion. So a lot of times in just lying in bed and pain, sitting on my couch, a lot of time in medical clinics. And I had this dream of playing pro hockey. I probably could have played some lower level of pro, not the NHL. I wasn't good enough, but some lower level of pro in hockey. And that dream didn't come to pass because of an injury. It was a sudden thing that happened that ended 14 years of a pursuit. And so in my early 20s, I used to say to myself, I committed 14 years to this thing and it didn't work out to hockey. I don't know if I can commit 14 years to something else and have that not work out. I don't know if I can commit 14 years to something without the certainty that I know it's gonna breed success. And so I used to say that to myself all the time. Now, later on, years later, I'm processing this with God and going, oh, that was the time where I wasn't resilient, where there was a lot of emotional pain in my life. There's physical pain. I literally couldn't do much physically. But then I also would look long-term and think, I don't think I can persevere through things. And so this mentality started to change. And it was because of obviously a pain and a painful time in my life. And this feeling of like emotional fatigue started to take place in my life. Whereas before, from an emotional or mental standpoint, I was like, right on, I can do this. I can beat any challenge and I can outlast people and get through things. And so I had to look back with the Lord, and he actually started bringing healing. I'd say I'm still honestly in the midst of it, but he's got me to a lot better place with that healing and just understanding how things have taken shape in my life. So I say that story to encourage you guys, don't just try to fight to be resilient without looking inward at the heart and going, why do I believe the things that I believe? For a lot of people with porn, when it's been years or decades, it's, I don't think that I can break free because I've given up so many times. I've given in so many times. I actually don't think that I have the ability. When we think of breaking free long-term, we might be free for a year or two, but how do we actually know that it can be long-term? How do we actually know we can break free and stay free forever? It's a question I get a lot. And we have to just have this understanding of resiliency and endurance. And if there's something getting in the way of living that out, we can look inward and we can go to God and get counsel and we can heal from whatever's holding us back, but also start to renew the mind and change the way that we think, change the way that we view our battles and see them not as just a burden, but a training ground, an opportunity where we can heal and we can grow. Resiliency and endurance and persevering, it's all throughout scripture. And it's never something that we're just born with and we know how to do immediately and to the degree that we need. So we have to learn it. And struggles and trials are the times where we both see the brokenness and the deficit in our lives, but also the times where we can grow in resiliency too.
Yeah, that's powerful. I think that the mindset that we need to shift is that regardless of what we're facing, regardless of the challenge that we have before us, that we have the mindset that we can overcome. There's that great verse, you know, we are more than conquerors. And God has a lot of verses throughout scripture that really speak to the mindset that we need to have. He told Joshua before he entered the promised land to not fear, I'll be with you wherever you go. Like, how powerful is that to have that being your guidepost, to be the thing that sets the theme and tone of your next choice and action? It's so much more and greater than the circumstance we face. No matter how big the enemy seems, no matter how challenging whatever addiction we're battling seems, I think that we need to have that mindset of understanding that we can overcome, that we are more than conquerors. And I'll talk about a scriptural precedent here too, but I mean, I'm a big World War II buff. If you know that about me, that's the way I nerd out. I love reading about World War II, the battles and stuff. But one of the greatest speeches that were ever given by a politician was by Winston Churchill in the midst of the German forces sweeping across Europe. And Britain was basically the last man standing at that point. Russia hadn't been invaded yet. I'm nerding out on this, but Britain was the last one standing. France had capitulated. They had surrendered. Britain was it. And there was a lot of talk within Parliament. There was a lot of talk for his political enemies, Churchill, and even a lot of voice saying we should just sign an armistice deal with Hitler and give up. Maybe we can get something good out of this. Maybe we can save Britain. Churchill responded to all that pressure by that famous speech of we will never surrender. You know, we'll fight on the beaches. We'll fight, you know, all these different, we won't give up. And what a powerful moment that was. Even though circumstances were so dire, it didn't look like Britain would be able to withstand the enemy. And they did, just because of that mindset, a change of mindset. We can overcome. We will fight. Maybe that's your rallying cry. You can fight. You will fight. You will not give up. And by the power of God working in your life, you can overcome whatever enemy you're facing. And if you want to go listen to that speech, there's on YouTube, whatever else, but it's powerful. But there's another great example in scripture of how we deal with just dire circumstance. When we think of David, we've used David a lot because he's a great example, but he was a man after God's heart. For 10 years of his life, he was on the run from a man that was supposed to be his mentor, Saul, trying to kill him. Saul had the benefit of having a massive army, a whole nation behind him. And here David with a ragtag bunch of men fleeing for their lives. And he lived in ditches. He hid in the countryside. He hid in the desert. He hid all over the place for 10 years of his life, running and fleeing. And there was this point in Psalm 142 is where I'd refer, but there's this one point where it's like a movie almost. Like, I think it's at this point is where they're on either sides. There's cliffs, whatever else, Saul's army, David and his men. But eventually David's able to retreat into this, this cave. Can you imagine the sheer terror in that moment?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, my life could end in a moment. He has a whole army chasing him, and he has just a group of guys with him hiding in a cave, hiding for his life. And he'd been obviously exhausted, sheer terror. I can't imagine living in that heightened state of adrenaline constantly. Like, that would be so exhausting. Saul didn't know where he was. And sure enough, he left his army and his guard to go into this cave to relieve himself. Scripture says to take a leak. And David's in the back of the cave. Saul doesn't know he's there. And David's guys with him are like, this is a chance where you can end this. You can go kill Saul right now. And all of this problem that you have, all this terror, all this circumstance is so bad, that's so dire, you can end it in a moment by just simply killing Saul. And he could easily have done it. But what we know about David in this moment, he wrote a psalm actually when he was in this cave. This is incredible. Like, he writes this psalm. And what does he do in that moment? He cries out to God. He lifts up his voice. This is what it says. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. And what does that do for David? It gives him, he shares with God. He prays, calls out to God, all the struggle that he's going through. He talks about the enemy that's pursuing him. He talks about how dire his situation is. He talks about the terror and the fear that he's feeling. He even says, I have no refuge. No one cares for me. And like, how dire is that? But he calls out to God. And then what does he do in that moment after he calls out to God? He prays. He has all these voices being the men with him saying, kill Saul, go get him. So he has this inner turmoil. He has these guys telling him to do something, but he responds by going to God. And then God in that moment gives him such clarity. What does he do? He doesn't end his problems by killing Saul. He actually calls out to Saul. He cuts a piece of robe and gives that as evidence. I could have killed you, but I didn't because you're God's anointed. It's not my place to kill you. It's not my place to end this way. And wow, how powerful is that? So what does he do to build resilience in that moment? He calls out to God. And through the terror of that circumstance, God gives him that clarity. And then he's able to see a vision beyond the momentary solution that he is presented before him. And what does that do? That puts him on a much better path in life. And we read throughout scripture and moving into the verses beyond that. And eventually he gets the kingdom and he becomes king. But this is one of those moments that God used to build character, to just allow David to trust in God and to learn a lot through that process. And so there's a good example for us of some of the things that we need to do in the moment. You feel the pain. You might feel the hurt. You might feel the frustration of battling a big enemy like porn. But you talk to God about that. You reveal that to God and other, in our communities as well. You can talk to him about that and talk to others about that. But through that, he gives us clarity and a vision for something greater than our momentary solutions. And that's where we find our freedom. And that's where we build our resiliency. I just think that's just a beautiful picture for us. And it really challenges me, honestly, of how we can have that mindset of being more than a conqueror and having that resilient mindset.
I love it. I love it. And more than a conqueror, by the way, what that means is you're not just a conqueror. You're not called to win all these battles and be a conqueror because, I don't know if I'm going to if I'm going to conquer. Now I have this battle. If I win the battle, then I'm a conqueror. What Jesus is saying is, no, he's the conqueror and we are more than a conqueror because we're already in victory. Mm-hmm. We're already in victory and we just need to learn how to fight from victory and fight from the freedom that he already gave us. He set us free already. And so we need to learn to fight from that rather than try to get free. So totally different mindset. And in Psalm in 142, it says, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. So you are my refuge. What is our refuge when we're not tempted anymore? What is our refuge when people apologize to us for wronging us? Or what is our refuge when we just never get tempted? Like, what are we looking to be our refuge? What David's saying is God is his refuge. We need God to be our refuge in those times. If we're calling on God to take the temptation from us, what we're saying to God is, that's my refuge. What we need to say is, you are my refuge, even in the midst of temptation. God, thank you that you are with me. What it says is, he is our portion in the land of the living here. So he is our portion. What does that mean? Another word for portion in scripture is inheritance, but I like both. Portion mean that he is what we need. Yeah, there's different things. Yeah, David's fighting Saul. Yeah, he's being chased. There's like Saul's army is great. There's like Saul want all the bitterness that Saul has. All of that's a reality, but also a reality in David's life is that God is his refuge. God is mm-hmm. his portion. So when you take into context all of the reality of what David's experiencing, he's focusing on the reality that God is with him. He's not focusing on the reality that the struggle is still there. He even sees, he says, I'm not going to kill God's anointed. He looks at his enemy, Saul, and sees the anointing of God. And I wonder if we could look at our temptations and see our hardships that we don't want to endure and see the anointing there and see God's plan there, see what God is doing in the midst of that temptation and going, oh, I see what God is doing. I'm not in this temptation. I'm not going to just pray it away. I'm going to let the temptation lead me to Jesus so that I understand that he is the portion that I need and I can focus on that and hold on to that. Totally different mindset than praying away the circumstance or the situation. And if you're there, if you're always praying about the situation, congratulations, you're a human being on planet Earth.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
This yeah. is what we do.
Yeah.
And so don't have shame or condemnation. Yeah. Just be excited that, okay, this is what it means to be more than a conqueror. This is what it means to have like a spiritual understanding of these fights, not just an earthly understanding. Be encouraged that now we can learn what it is to actually walk in the freedom that he has already set in place for us. Because we are free, now we can walk in it. His presence is there. Now we get to experience his presence. And when we change our mindset, we literally are transformed in the midst of this fight. Because that's what scripture says. When you renew your mind, that leads to transformation. And so changing the mindset, another one is 1 Peter 4:1. That when you suffer in the body, if you arm yourself with the same way of thinking that Christ had, then sin will just cease in the body. It actually says, then those who have suffered, for those who have suffered, sin will cease. And so when we go through suffering, if we have this way of thinking that Christ had, which is resiliency, perseverance, endurance, God is our portion, God is our refuge, that's how we arm ourselves in the midst of trouble. And then sin just ceases in our life. Because why do we even need to go to sin if we're already in God as our refuge? So yeah, beautiful perspective to take and then grow in it. Every time there's temptation, grow in this. This is the key for everybody who's been praying to God for years and decades. Take this from me. I want to be healed from this. God hasn't healed me yet. Why aren't you answering me, God? This is why. Because he wants you to grow. He wants you to know who you are. And if the struggle is all of a sudden out of your life, all he's doing is enabling us to live as human beings who are absolutely, totally dependent on his sovereign move without us engaging in the fight. And he wants to go, no, I've put so much more power and belief in you, so much more ability through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can engage in this fight too. You just need to do it differently. And he's a great commander of the army. So hope that encourages you and hope that you have more resiliency in your fight. Hope that if there's things coming up in your heart that you need to heal from that stops you from being resilient. I hope that you can go through that healing journey. And this is a good thing. It grows us as people when we have this mentality. It's a process, right? And be encouraged that it's a process. And even though we sin, even though we screw up, even though there's relapses, even though we hate the sexual sin, we hate the anger, even though that's present at times in our life, we want it to be less and less. We want it to be totally gone. But when it's less and less, but we're still in this process of healing, I think God is so excited for us that we're healing. The sin, yeah, we want it gone, but he can use that to teach us resiliency. And so this is not permission to engage in sin, but it's just to say, don't let that bring so much shame and guilt that you're like, oh, I guess I'm just not that person. No, God is growing you and there's a process in that. And so be patient with yourself in that process.
Beautiful tarps. Love it. Anyways, we'll leave that with you and along with you. Yeah, man.
I that's going to take me a bit, like, especially the listeners. I feel for the listeners who hear it and don't know context. That just means they have to listen to every episode. You got to listen
more. That's why I'm doing that. Yeah, you got to figure this out. So you go listen to more episodes. But be resilient in these things. And we're with you in the fight. And stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't surrender. You have a Lord that is on your side. Jesus is working in and through your life. So just understand that you're not alone in this and he is your refuge. So trusting that you have a great week, we're praying into that, and we will be looking forward to hanging out with you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.